Welcome to episode 163 of the Bobbycast. Songs with background singers you didn't even know because they're famous and they didn't really make it a thing. You know what I mean?
I like it. It's kind of like you just ask a friend to sing on a song, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you didn't make a big deal that they were singing on a song. And what really brought it up is, and this is so like a us thing, is I was talking about the Wallflower 6th Avenue Heartache, and Adam Duritz from the Counting Crows sings the background vocals. So you hear Jacob Dylan, and then here's Adam Duritz here. That's the background. Oh, he didn't do it right there.
That's the song. That's a guitar solo.
I know a part of the song. Then he goes, And so anytime they get to the hook, that guy's singing in the background. And at the end of the song, he really starts doing runs all around it. You can tell that's the Counting Crows guy.
And we're such huge Counting Crows fans. I remember when this came out, and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, automatically, you're like, that's Adam Duritz. It sounds so good.
And you just imagine they were on the road somewhere recording it?
Here, yeah.
Check it out. That's Adam Duritz, lead singer of the Counting Crows, singing background on 6th Avenue
it.
Heartache.
And that is part of it, too. You kind of imagine, like, oh, I wonder, like, what they were doing. And did he just, were they out drinking? They're like, hey, you want to call the studio
you
real
wanna
quick?
You want to hop in real quick?
Yeah, come on, we got this let's track. Just go in.
Now we know a lot of times, especially duets, nowadays, they're not even in the same room or same
correct.
City or same, who knows?
Is that too much behind the curtain? Because that really disappointed me a little bit. Because there is that. Those things that you grow up just thinking, like, that's what it was like. And then when you find out it really, most of the time, and not always.
I think artists are pretty open about it now, though, sometimes.
Because it's very disappointing to know that, like, oh, they weren't in the same room. Like,
yeah, because you just picture them both with their finger in their ear.
Yeah.
Going, ooh.
Exactly. Look at each other in the eyes.
Another really personal one is is Namaste and Walker Hayes. We do a song called Namaste, the Raging Idiots. Walker Hayes, who I wrote it with, sings background vocals. Don't know nothing about yoga at all. Probably gotta hit the road, but Namaste. And if you know Walker's voice, Namaste. You can really hear Walker,
yeah.
Like, in this a lot. Girl, I'm trying to be responsible, but you're making it impossible. And he does a lot of the O's, A's, O's. Next pants looking all flexible and you're down with dog. Namaste, ain't no way I'm about to leave you in a pretzel on the floor like. So if you listen to that, that's Walker Hayes, because Walker produced that song. It was the first time Walker ever produced a song. I went to the studio and got it all together.
Have you ever talked about the dog thing and how he was like, hey, don't be mad at me. I don't know if you're going to like it or not.
Oh, no. I don't know.
Because that was always interesting to me.
He sent this when we first recorded it. Because, again, I went to Walker. I was like, hey, produce a song. And he's like, I never produced a song before. And I was like, good.
Yeah, you got this.
Yeah, we wrote it. Let's go do it. And so we went to a studio and I wrote in my book too about how encouraging he was as we're in the studio. He was like, yeah, you got it. And so I started to feel good. And then he sent me over the track and he goes, hey, dude, I bark in it. Because that wolf is him.
And it was not on there originally.
It wasn't on, yeah. And so the thing where he goes,
a downward dog.
And yeah, flexible and you're downward dog.
Woo.
And that roof is Walker Hayes. Yeah. And I didn't know that
which
was coming.
Which is my favorite part of the
and
song.
And now everybody does it when we play it live.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, now here are some real ones that aren't super personal to us. Because that Wallflowers ones, obviously, were nerds. And then the Namaste ones, a Raging
obviously.
Idiot song. Okay, why don't we do Drink a Beer?
Luke Bryan.
Luke Bryan, Drink a Beer.
And Chris Stapleton.
Does the background vocals.
Which, interesting, we didn't know this, Bones. And when Chris came in and talked about it, we still didn't know. And we're like, that's you? Mm-hmm. I thought it was a girl.
Well, we knew Chris wrote it. But we didn't know Chris sang background vocals. So I'm gonna sit right here. It does sound like
thought it was a woman.
That's Chris Stapleton singing with Luke. So I'm gonna sit right here on the edge of this pier and watch the sunset disappear. It does sound like a woman at times, unless you know it's Chris's voice.
Well, he goes really high.
Yeah. Because he can, yeah.
Drink a beer. Do you have that end part? So long.
really hear the Stapleton if you listen close to that.
We meet again.
Here he is.
I'll remember you and all the times that we used to.
Yeah, it's Chris Stapleton there.
Can you sing that high?
No, I can't sing low, high.
Try it.
Sit right here on the edge of this pier.
Can you?
No, that's too high for me.
There you go. That's Chris Stapleton singing the background with Luke Bryan.
Drink a beer.
Do you know why they don't say the name, or they just keep it kind of...
What do you mean?
Like, because sometimes they'll do featuring.
It's not a feature.
They're just doing harmonies.
It's just not a feature, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there are a lot of... I mean, which is the point of all this. I mean, all of these are that, basically. If it's not a feature, it's just somebody singing.
Yeah, they just...
There's another one that we don't have on our list, but Thomas Rhett, when he does... what's the Thomas Rhett
I know
yeah,
you.
That Chris Stapleton does the...
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because Chris wrote that song, too, for Thomas Rhett. If you find, I'll pull it up in the library here.
Yep, I'm looking for it.
So, Crash and Burn. Here, listen to this. I'm going to play it from the beginning. But that's Chris going, ooh, here you go.
So I guess it's over, baby.
Can you hear that?
That's so cool. Now it sounds like Chris.
Right?
That's funny, man.
Yeah. That's what I think it is. I think he told me it was.
Watch it not even be true.
Yeah. Listen, we're like 93% sure. But Chris wrote that song. It only makes sense. That's...
Yeah. No, it does sound like him now that I hear it.
How about this one? This is Katy Perry. POD has a song called... These are written funny. POD has a song called Goodbye For Now. Okay?
Goodbye for now.
That's Katy Perry doing the background vocals.
Goodbye for now. So
the band became good friends with Katy Perry after someone recommended her for the song. She would just come around the studio. It was really nice. She wasn't Katy Perry. Just a sweet girl who was trying to make it in the Christian music scene. They were Christians.
That's her?
They said they heard that she was making this Christian gospel record, and all of a sudden she was in Hollywood just trying to figure it out. So they put her on that song.
Oh, this is early on.
POD, yeah. That's Katy Perry.
Sidetrack. That's really crazy that that was the path she was trying to take, but then her first hit was what? I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It?
Her first pop hit was secular music. She was on American Idol last night. She had mentioned that again, how she grew up in the church and, you know, was pursuing that.
Yeah. And everybody was like, what? This song is crazy.
When she decided
because of her
to
background.
Flip. Yeah, no, nobody knew her background. Because well, I was part of, I was there. I was part of that.
Remember, she came into our TV studio and one of our guys interviewed, I think Michael Trejo interviewed her, and that was like her big thing. And she talked about like, yeah, like whatever, preacher dad, like my dad's a minister, whatever he is.
Maybe the thing was that she was a preacher's kid, but it wasn't that she had tried Christian music and was now doing pop.
Got it.
Because when she came to radio, you knew she was a preacher's kid, but there are a lot of preacher's kids.
Yeah.
But she had actually...
We should do a Bobby cast on all the preacher's kids.
Yeah, right?
They're all like rock stars now.
They're all death metal.
Yeah.
Let's see. How about... Here's Ryan Hurd, his song Now to a T.
Tonight, girl, I'll take my time.
You know Maren?
Yeah, it's Maren Morris.
That's easy.
Baby, I got you down to a T.
Pretty cool, huh?
I feel like they travel everywhere together, right? Like they're just...
Not now. Well, she was off record cycle. Now she and wasn't touring. Now she's back. Now she's out.
Yeah.
You know, Audi 5000. She has a world tour. But yeah, but they're going to be split up now because he's going his own way. She's doing her. But the good thing about country touring is you're only gone for like 3 days a week and you come back home.
Right.
Where you do rock touring or pop touring.
Months at a time.
You just take 3 months and you don't come back home. Unless you have like a week off, you put in the middle of the tour and you get to go home for a few days.
Which is so smart. The country touring thing is like, that's just a no-brainer. Like, you should just do that just to be able to live your life. It's like going to work for 5 days and then having the weekend.
But some people don't want to have to tour all year. They like to go do a couple months, and they're just free for a couple months.
Ooh, what would you rather do? No, you can't stand being alone for like, or just bored for months.
I think I would probably go do a couple months at a time and be done with it. Then I could just go focus on a full other project.
Oh.
I could take like a week or two vacation or whatever. But then I would, if I was going to go in the studio, I just have like a month in the studio.
Yeah.
Like I like to focus all that time on it.
But it's
funny because any of my friends that work in pop or do any other kind of touring, they just leave and they don't come back. Even the Dancing with the Stars tour, they're gone for 4 months. They didn't come back home.
It's a long time.
It's like goodbye and you make the bus. You live on the bus and then almost never hotels unless it's a day off. You just stay in the bus the whole time. Cassidy Pope has a song, If My Heart Had a Heart. Do you know who sings the background on this?
Let's hear it. If my heart had a heart, it would go on and
leave me alone. It'd stop having me. He and the guy singing in the background. Let me forget you and let
me let go. Is it a boyfriend?
Yeah. It was our pain. It's Shay from Dan and Shay.
Oh. Put this to rest. Instead of putting the stake in my chest. Oh no.
So yeah, that's Shay from Dan and Shay singing that one.
Two of some of the best voices together right there.
Yeah. Let me do this real quick. Let me do a commercial. We'll do some more of these. So how'd you get ready today? Did you shower, brush your teeth, wash your face, style your hair? I'm asking because as a proud member of Dollar Shave Club, I'm here to tell you that no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. You want a clean mouth and fresh breath, right? The intense peppermint flavor of Dollar Shave Club's toothpaste will wake you up and last a surprisingly long time. Their hydrating body cleanser smells awesome. Skin feels great after you shower. But I hope showering and brushing your teeth are just part of how you get ready. But no matter how you do, Dollar Shave Club has everything that you need. And I haven't even mentioned their razors and shave butter that everybody knows them for, including myself. Right now, you can get a Dollar Shave Club starter set for just $5 each. They got a shower set, a toothpaste, a toothbrush set, all their famous shave butter, the razor. Any of those sets, just $5. And it's the best way to try out their amazing products. It's a great gift. After your starter set products ship at a regular price, right? Get yours today, dollarshaveclub.com/bones. dollarshaveclub.com/bones. All right, so how about this one? This is Coldplay, Everglow. Do you know the song? Be friends till we die, but the changing of winds and the way waters flow, not for sure as the falling of snow. Somebody is singing background vocals.
Is that Gwyneth?
Yeah.
Is it really?
It's Gwyneth, and even after they broke up.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because I knew she sang, because she sang in that movie, Duets, I think it's called. What album is this off of?
It's in 2014.
So one of the newer ones, probably the one where Magic is in.
Sure, sure. I know this song really well. I know you. So she sang on this, even though they were separated. It was, wait, see what album that's on, will you? It's possibly the only breakup song in history. Was it?
Head Full of Dreams.
Okay. It was possibly the only breakup song in history to have an ex backing vocals. They said he just did it one day. It was kind of a friendly, hey, would you mind singing background vocals?
It's a lot easier to hang out with your ex when you have kids together.
Yeah.
I would think. You gotta remain friends.
You don't have to
like
sing with
touch.
Them, though.
You don't have to go that far. Sing on a record.
Okay, here's one. Do you know this song? You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. Now, it's Carly Simon, You're So Vain. Now, listen to the background vocal. It's a very, very famous background vocal.
Okay, I hear the guy.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you.
I can't mistake that voice.
You know it?
Yeah, it's Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Okay, Mick kind of dominates that song.
Mick Jagger contributed uncredited background vocals during the sessions for You're So Vain. He said that it took place just because he happened to be at a call at the studio. She's like, why don't you come down and sing then? And he hops down and sings.
I love that.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you.
Dude, that reminds me. When we were recording one of our Raging Idiots records, Kid Rock was in the studio at the same time in another studio. Why didn't you just grab him and be like, dude, can you jump on Planet Song? We're doing a Starbucks.
I went into the wrong studio that day.
Yes.
I walked into Kid Rock recording. Because there's like three studios. I remember walking in and going, these aren't my people. These people have beards and they're mean.
This isn't Eddie.
And Kid Rock was in the booth singing. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And I walked out and I walked over to you guys. I was like, Kid Rock's over there cutting music. And so I didn't even know he was over there.
That's what I picture when you hear, oh yeah, the Rolling Stones.
Hey,
are...
Bob, you come over and sing a couple tracks there when I grow up.
Hit it. Baba dippa dippa bang bang.
Okay. Here we go. How about this one? This is Kanye West, Jesus Walks.
The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now. Jesus. And I don't think there's nothing I could do now to right my wrongs. I want to talk to God, but I'm afraid because we ain't spoken so long.
Is it just that woman or the group of girls?
It's not a woman.
What?
That's not a woman.
That's not a woman?
That's not a woman, right?
Mm. Who is that?
The only
very famous person.
The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now. And I don't think there's nothing I could do now to right my wrongs. I want to talk to God, but I'm afraid because we ain't spoken so long.
Stevie Wonder?
No.
Because the devil's trying to break me down.
I hear a woman.
The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now.
Yeah. Only because I read it, not because I could identify it. John Legend.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. He sings high.
John Legend sings background on six songs from Graduation, including Jesus Walks. Legend's old roommate happened to be Kanye West's cousin. The two hit it off, started collaborating with each other. He introduced the two back when the rapper was just producing beats. They became friends. Kanye did not have a record deal at the time, but when he did, he remembered John Legend and then got him one too.
The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now.
I was watching the CNN series about the 2000s.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the music, and it was the decade where producers became famous too.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was producers and DJs for the first time.
Yes.
And there's like a whole thing on Timbaland showing Jay-Z the beat for 99. No, Rick Rubin did 99 Problems. But, what's that one?
Dust Off Your Shoulders?
Yeah. Timbaland shows him Dust Off Your Shoulders. First time ever, because Jay-Z is in the studio.
They're just sitting there.
They're sitting there, and he's like, I got this. And Jay-Z's like, whoa. And then Jay-Z puts his headphones on and just starts crushing it.
Oh, I love that.
And like Rick talking to Rick Rubin, because Rick Rubin hadn't done a hip-hop record since like the Beastie Boys.
Yeah,
like some,
right.
And so how he took 99 Problems and like was adding like AC/DC licks to it, and how it's like, don't got the Rap Patrol and the cat. It's cool.
That is pretty cool that the producers started getting a little bit of popularity because they are the brains behind the music.
I guess the reason I bring it up is that's how Kanye was. Kanye produced Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And so it was like Kanye West was a producer who also wanted to try to make a name for himself, you know, as a rapper, but was producing all these artists. Pharrell was another one they talked about.
Oh, yeah. He's huge.
Was a producer before he started doing, you know, Pharrell. There was another. And they talk about DJs like...
Calvin Harris?
No, he's a later, but it was like...
Fatboy Slim?
Diplo... Deadmau5,
oh yeah,
some of those guys that were like, they would go and play these shows, and 10,000 people would show up, and people couldn't understand how 10,000 people would go watch a DJ perform. But the DJs were like, it's not about us. We've created an environment where everybody's watching everybody else. Like, we've created the environment that everybody's watching each other. No one wants to watch us.
Oh, gotcha.
But we've created the place where they can come and actually watch something. It's each other. It's pretty cool.
I've always wondered that. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to Bonnaroo one year. Oh, and you're going to go to Bonnaroo this year. You have to check this out. They have silent disco, and everyone puts headphones on as a DJ plays. And so when you walk up there and you watch everyone dancing with headphones, they can hear the music, but you cannot. They look so dumb, and they just look like idiots dancing. I mean, they're getting down bones, and then you put the headphones on, and you're like, okay, I get it. So you start moving. You hear it so loud, and it's a party. But if you don't have the headphones on, you look pretty stupid.
I haven't been to a music festival since Austin's the Limits years ago.
This is a little different.
It is?
Yeah. I'd say a lot more drugs.
Bonnaroo?
Yeah.
I don't do drugs.
No, just around. You can tell people are like high as a kite. You can tell they're messed up.
Wait, do I need to do drugs?
No.
To go?
No.
Can I?
You don't need to do drugs to go, no.
Can I not do drugs and still have fun?
Yeah. Yeah, because you like music. I think a lot of these kids go, and I'm sure they love music, but it enhances their experience?
But what if I want it to be enhanced?
You don't, stop.
What about Viagra?
You want Viagra?
I don't know any drugs.
Everyone's like, stay away from this dude.
They can tell just a different way.
This guy's walking around with a sword.
Yeah, and with that festival, because I've never been to Bonnaroo, but my manager actually owns part of that festival. And he's like, go. You know, we'll hook you up, get you all the passes. And I'm going to take a tour bus. Most people stay in tents.
Yes.
Or you can stay in like the one Holiday Inn.
There's only one or two hotels.
That's hard to get anyway. Yes. And I was like, I'll just get a tour bus and go, because that's nice.
Yeah. And we sleep in those.
Stay in the bedroom. There are bunks. Take some friends.
Yep.
Right? Is that going
to
be gross?
That'd be great. I mean, I say you, second day, you're going to be ready to leave.
Oh, really?
I think you're going to have a great one day. Like one day, you're just going to be like, dude, this is great. I love it. And then after that, you're like, all right, I'm ready. I'm done. We may have, what is it called, aged out?
Which is a problem because I'm going to probably take four or five other people with me because I can sleep on the bus. But then they have to go with me.
But the thing with us is we see a lot of music. And so you'll probably get like, since your manager owns some of it, like he'll probably give you a good like, you know, wristband or whatever. Yes. And get you some good access. But the problem with Bonnaroo, which is, I've never seen this in any other festival, they have zones of like general population and then one zone in front of them that's like regular VIP. And then they have artists right in front. So if you have an artist badge, you can go right in the front to any stage. But as soon as that's full, it doesn't matter if you're Kanye or if you're whatever, like Mick Jagger, you're not getting in that zone. Like if it's full, it's full. So it doesn't matter if you have an artist pass. So it's kind of cool, but
it's like South by Southwest where,
yes, exactly,
you can have a badge, but if you don't get there early enough, it doesn't matter.
You're not watching it. So it's really interesting the way they do that.
You have to go pick your spots and just sit and wait on people?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to see like someone in particular, I'd go the band before and just stay there. Oh, no, you actually can't because they kick everyone out between every band.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good. Then you have a shot to get back in.
You have a shot, but if you're just a little late, two songs late, you're not getting in. I think you'll like it. One day. I think you have one day in you.
But I can't leave because I'm having people with me.
You just hang on the bus. You'll probably just snap the whole time, watch Friends on the bus.
That I could do. That's what I was doing at the house anyway.
Right.
Okay. We got that one. How about this one? Here is The Righteous Brothers. You've Lost That Loving Feeling.
Ooh.
Bring back that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling.
I like Motown? Someone for, is it?
Now you can absolutely hear this person. When I tell you, you'll be like, oh.
Bring back.
It says The Righteous Brothers. You think you're hearing two brothers singing? You're not. You're hearing the lead singer and the background vocalist.
Okay.
Bring back that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling.
Ray Charles?
Bring back.
You know how earlier you thought Stapleton was a girl? You're thinking that this girl's a dude. It's a girl.
Oh, that's a girl?
Mm-hmm. Listen again.
Nina
deep,
Simone?
Deep. Nope. Deep.
Bring back that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling.
Oh, okay. Is that Aretha Franklin?
Bring back that loving feeling.
That's not a girl.
It is. When I tell you, you go, oh.
Who is it?
That's exactly it. That's how she sings.
She sings like that normally?
Every impression of her is like,
yeah. Oh, Cher.
Cher.
That's
it.
Cher?
That's Cher.
Wow.
Yeah.
She sings so low.
But now doesn't it sound like Cher?
Now I hear it. Now that doesn't sound like a dude.
Bring back that love and feeling, cause it's gone, gone, gone. And I can't go on.
Funny, huh?
What did the other brother do then?
Watched.
He's playing the drums.
He just watches his brother. I have no idea. How about this one? Here is Elton John. Here we go.
Entertain by picking brains.
You won't get this one.
Sell my soul by
how do you know?
Names.
Okay, you might.
I don't like those, my God,
you know what this song is?
No.
Yeah, you will. And you'll even know the song.
Oh, yeah. Is that called The Bitch Is Back? Person right now?
Yeah, and you definitely know the person, but I don't think you'll get it. A legendary British singer.
Is it one of the Beatles? It's Ringo. I don't know.
Dusty Springfield.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, how about this one?
Is Dusty a girl?
You need to do your research on Dusty Springfield.
Why am I thinking Dusty's a girl?
You tell me what comes up when you Google Dusty Springfield.
Son of a preacher, man. It's a girl.
Of course it's a girl.
Oh, okay. I thought you guys were like, no, it's a dude.
It's not Dusty Baker, the former manager of the Cubs of Giants.
Dusty Springfield? Okay, all right.
What's wrong with you? Okay, how about this one? Here is Chaka Khan, Our yes. Love is in Danger.
I told you, man, if I'm leaving, I need your loving day. I get so tired when you're far.
I don't think you'll get it, but you'll hear it and go, oh, okay.
Have they sang yet? ABBA?
Nah, Luther Vandross.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay, how about the Beatles, All You Need Is Love?
Ooh.
So the Beatles.
I didn't know anyone sang with the Beatles.
The Beatles, except for Ringo, who is behind his drum kit, were seated on high stools, right? They were with 13 pieces of orchestra band. The band had friends and acquaintances all on the floor who sang along with the fade out with the refrain, and then all of these people I'm about to tell you are singing in this. All you need is love. All these people right here. All you need is love. You can't identify them by the because they're all you need is love. But you'll know next time you hear it. Love is all you need.
Can't pick anyone
you
out.
Can't pick it, but it's cool.
Who's
it's
there?
Mick Jagger.
Oh, gosh.
Eric Clapton, Keith Richards, Keith Moon from The Who, Graham Nash from Crosby, Stills,
wow.
Nash Young, Patty Boy, Jane Asher. It's just a whole bunch of people that were having to be around then before they all got super awesomely famous.
Amazing.
And some of them were even famous
yeah.
then. So, yeah, anyway, there's some background. I thought that was pretty
that's
cool.
I don't know if anyone knew that. That's
well, yeah, some people do know that one.
Yeah, like
we didn't
nerds.
Know Brit knew. Well, yeah. But
did you know, have you heard, this isn't like someone being there, but James Taylor.
What about it?
What's the part in the whole, oh, Carolina in My Mind.
Okay.
So he wrote that line, when the holy host of others stand around you, still I'm on the dark side of the moon. He's in that line, he said that the Beatles were in the studio while he was recording that song. And he was like, ooh, I've got to put that in.
On Carolina
was,
on Mine?
Yeah, because it was like the holy host that they're just watching you record this
Sing
song.
Sing it again.
When the holy host of others stand beside you.
Oh, that's why I put that in?
Yes. In my
mind, I'm gone. And they were in the room watching him sing?
They were just in the studio, like in the control room, like, oh, look, it's James Taylor. Let's watch this for a second.
The James Taylor that's funny to me is when he was young and had all the hair.
Mustache.
Because I don't know that James. He looked like a rock star.
Now, bald, glasses.
I don't know him otherwise except bald.
Right?
Like, in my, it's like Willie. I don't know Willie anyway but old.
Right. And when you watch, when you see Willie without a beard or long hair, it's pretty crazy.
Even when we were born, and we were born in the 80s. I was born in the 80s. Like, Willie was already old.
Yeah.
Like, there's no young yes, Willie that's ever existed yes. to me. So, what are we looking at here? Also, indeed, the recording of Carolina Mine includes a credit appearance by Paul McCartney on the bass guitar.
There you go.
Did you know
Boom.
That?
Boom, didn't know that.
Oh, look at that.
In that song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
George
What's George Harrison do on it? George Harrison
Dude,
back.
Dude, we didn't even know this.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
That's, hey, listen to that bass, Paul McCartney.
That's Paul.
Can't you see the sunshine?
Wow, dude, this is so cool.
That's pretty cool, right?
Ain't he just like a friend of mine?
Do people our age like this music? Because I love it.
I love it. It's the generation before us. I don't know.
70s, yeah.
Maybe even two generations before us. Because, you know, I was a 90s music kid. Like, my music was everything that happened in the 90s. The first music that I found myself loving. The country part of the 90s, the Garth and Tim McGraw, the alternative part of the 90s,
yeah,
the Nirvana Pearl Jams, the pop part of the 90s.
Yep.
Later on, the Britney NSYNC, and I was starting
Spice
to get a little
Girls.
Too old for that. But still, that was it,
yes.
right? That's our music. Even the side 90s stuff, the stuff that was like Counting Crows,
yeah.
the kind of the emo alternative stuff, which I became a huge Counting Crows yeah. fan. And there were a lot of those.
Like your Blink-182? It's like
No, that's more the pop punk.
Okay,
that'd
okay.
be more... Or,
Because that was getting a little 90s. Young
that,
for
Yeah,
us.
That was like almost the 2000 mark.
Yeah. No Effects or whatever. You know?
I was in college when that was the, the alternative station. But two generations ahead of now would be, so if now is Ariana Grande,
then
it had in, that in had to be sync? It had to be like the TLC.
Yeah.
Then it had to be the 90s stuff.
Which, you know, kids now don't know that stuff. But I'm sure some do, and they appreciate it. So yes, James Taylor would be that
equivalent. TLC to kids now is James Taylor to us.
That's I think that sounds about right.
Do you like James Taylor, Mike D?
Yeah.
You do?
It just it's so soft and easy and smooth, and like I feel like most people be like, what is this crap? Like, turn it off. But I truly enjoy listening to James Taylor.
Yeah, me too. I listen to oldies radio a lot.
But the oldies radio's changing, dude.
Well, yeah, one, they play now Foo Fighters.
They play Pearl Jam in it.
Yeah. But also radio's changing. You know, you don't need a station to play all kinds of stuff. It's just...
It's so funny. I'll get on iHeart, the iHeart app, and I will search oldies just because I want to hear some, like, you know, like Everly Brothers and whatever, Temptations, that kind of stuff. And, like, I can't find any... playlists or anything that's that
like,
have
you have to look at 50s and 60s specifically.
You have to go decades. That's right,
because like on like classic rock, maybe what it would be now, like you would hear U2 Mysterious Ways and you would go, oh, I mean, again, this is a bit before us, but U2 wasn't before us.
What was classic rock when we were growing
Zeppelin.
Up
Zeppelin, and it's still part of classic rock, but it's just some of that newer stuff.
Feel Like Making Love, all that stuff. Wrapped up in a douche in the roar of the night.
Do you know who sings Feel Like Making Love? I think a lot of my music history and my knowledge comes from just listening to oldies all the time with my stepdad when I became a teenager.
Your stepdad listened to this?
All the time. That was his music. Baby,
when I think about you, I think about love.
Who sings this?
Bad Company.
Ah, of course.
But that's where my music knowledge really comes from.
They also sing, is this Bad Company too?
Joe Cocker.
Love Joe Cocker.
So, there you go.
Good stuff, man.
Hope you enjoy the episode, everybody. This is episode 163, Famous Background Singers. We should title something cool, though.
Yeah. Like,
you didn't even know they were background singers.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. You don't know crap about... No.
What you know about background singers?
You didn't... What can we title this on the front side?
Whatever you just said. You just said it.
You didn't even know these famous... You only get like so many words, though.
Right. Or else it becomes... Yeah, it's like, you can't see the rest of it.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. By the time we see the title, you'll be like, oh, that's what they settled on.
You're like, ooh, good one, guys.
Check out the Sore Losers podcast with producer Eddie. If you love sports, Sore Losers podcast with Lunchbox, Raymundo, and producer Eddie. Eddie, always fun to do this, buddy.
Yeah, dude, I like it. And what's the next one we're thinking of doing?
What's something we've been talking about?
Famous soundtracks.
Like
love soundtracks.
Like the best soundtrack to you. Because that used to be a thing.
Oh yeah.
Today a bit so, but a lot of times they just take old songs and put them on soundtracks. They didn't always do that. They used to create new songs for soundtracks.
But I was so nerdy that I would listen to the Field of Dreams soundtrack, the Rudy soundtrack, which is nothing but instrumental music, like orchestra music.
That's pretty nerdy.
Braveheart soundtrack. I'd buy those CDs.
Pretty nerdy. Thank you guys. This is episode 163 of the Bobbycast. As always, thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Producer Eddie, @Producer Eddie on Instagram, and the Sore Losers podcast. Thank you very much. See you next time, babe.